do want to thank our sponsors. As I said early in the program, Prophetic Voice Ministries is our Facebook sponsor today. They're at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City. They have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 11, and church again at 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. Then on Tuesday evening, they have a prayer meeting, and on Thursday evening, they have Bible study. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, right here in the Promise Center, 321 North Main. Did I get that address right? I always get mixed up, Pastor Scott, whether it's 312 or 321. I forget. 321, go. Okay. We appreciate them so very much. I saw Les yesterday for a few minutes, and he seems to be doing very well. And so continue to keep him in your prayers, though. I know this has been a challenge, losing his partner for life a while back. The Refuge Church, which is non-denominational, is at 18410 Highway 152. That is 3 miles west on 152 from the traffic light in downtown Sayre. They're on the east side of the road, and they're situated in a little barn. They have a really nice little worship center there. They have Sunday school at 10, worship at 10:45. Evening Bible study at 6, and then Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. Wednesday youth group at 7 also. If you need more information, you can call Pastor Tammy Bailey at 729-0956. Now let's hear from some of our other sponsors.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another, and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what-ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
We are back. It is the Hour of Power. Our guest today, Pastor Scott Rogers, Elk City's First United Methodist Church. We're always so pleased to have you come in. We always get a little info or insight into your life about sports, and that's always interesting.
Absolutely.
And then you're bringing us a great message today about, are your eyes opened?
So we're gonna push forward a little, because we're going to talk about how that happens. You know, one of the things that I hear way too often as a pastor, and I say this to my church a lot, it saddens me how often I have the conversation that goes something like this: God really couldn't love me. If God really knew who I was or what I've done, then there's no way God could love me. That is one of the most heartbreaking things that I think you can hear. And especially if you're the one saying it and believing it. Well, one of the things that I see here that again makes me go, huh, is if I had been the stranger, Jesus, and my conversation had started with, are you the only idiot that doesn't know what's going on, you know? And I know that these two can tell the story, and yet obviously don't seem to be believing it because they're just walking the slow walk back to Emmaus. Jesus could have walked on. Jesus could have found another pack to walk with. He could have said, you know what? These two guys are not worth it. He could have said, you know what? If you can't figure it out with everything you already know, there's no hope for you. Because if you could say all the right stories and say all the right words and know all the right things and still not get it, I think I'm done with you. That's not the story. The story is Jesus keeps walking with them. You see, I actually believe it is Jesus' mission to open our eyes. I believe it is Jesus' mission to convince our hearts, our minds, and our souls to actually find ways to overcome things like our doubt or our unbelief or our fear of what's next or not next. And the fact that Jesus not only walks with these two, even after being admonished, even after hearing, good grief, these guys know a lot and still don't know anything. He walks with them. He talks with them. He shares with them from the scriptures about himself. And we later find out, because they say it later on, these two guys are like, you know, weren't our hearts burning on the road when he was speaking? So even then, Jesus can, I mean, it's Jesus, right? He knows their hearts are tingling, and they still don't seem to get it. They still don't get it. And I think what's interesting to me about that is that thank goodness we have this story.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because there are times that I am slow to speak and slow to get it and put up my wall and put up my barriers, and I'm just not going to believe that. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to go there. And if Jesus was that quick to give up, I know where I would be. Mm-hmm. I'd be a lost puppy out there in the middle of nowhere. Thanks be to God that that's not who Jesus is. In fact, Jesus is just the opposite. So he walks with these two guys and he talks with them. And they arrive in Emmaus. And they say, hey, look, dude, hospitality rules, you know. Would you come and have dinner with us? And he's like, nah, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. So he has dinner with them. Now, there's a whole nother lesson that we could go into. They should have been the host of the meal. But Jesus ends up being the host. But I don't have time for that today. Because that's a whole nother hour. Yeah, multiple hours, actually. But they sit down for dinner. And Jesus apparently sits at the head of the table because it's his job to break the bread and pray. Even though he's the stranger. Again, we'll get there. But he leans over and he takes the bread. And he gives thanks to God. And he breaks the bread in front of them. And scripture very clearly says, and their eyes were opened. Oh my gosh. It's him. It's him. It's Jesus, right? They're almost flabbergasted. By the way, right now is when, through their mind, they're like, oh my gosh, we just were really indignant with him earlier. That's not really a good thing. but they're like, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And it's funny because this isn't the first time we've had this story. It's almost identical to the story in John 20 when Mary's in the garden. And remember, she speaks to the gardener and she says, sir, if you've taken away his body, tell me where you put him. I'll go get him. And you remember the gardener, stranger, Jesus, says, Mary. And she's like, oh, Rabboni, right? Teacher. There's something about when our eyes are opened by Christ. We begin to see with new eyes. Remember at the beginning when I told you all of a sudden I could see things that were on the chalkboard. I could see the score of the ball game, right? There was a, it was like a whole new world opened up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, if any of you wear corrective lenses, you know what this is about. It's the middle of the night when you don't have your glasses on. You're like, I can't see, you know, and you put them on. You're like, oh, thank goodness, right? There's something to be said about the idea that we receive new sight, new eyes when we have faith in Christ. And let me tell you what happens. It's really quite interesting because this journey would have taken a couple of hours for them. They were used to walking it, so it wasn't taking all day, but it's not just a little short walk, go 7 or 8 miles. And it's clearly dinner time, which means it's in the late, probably afternoon, late afternoon maybe, right? Because they talk about that. Mm-hmm. And according to their MO, these two guys should have responded, oh man, that's awesome. I guess we'll get up in the morning and probably should head back. That is not what happens. Mm-hmm. These two guys jump up and they say to one another, were our hearts burning on the road as he was sharing with us? We've got to go back to Jerusalem. And so they jump up. And what was an 8-mile lament walk becomes a spiritual pilgrimage run back to Jerusalem. They're not taking it for granted anymore. Did you notice this? All of a sudden, Jesus rising from the dead is not just, oh, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. Oh, our women told us about it. They can't wait. They can't go fast enough back to Jerusalem. And so they hightail it back. So again, they've traveled 8 miles. They're going to travel 8 miles back. And they immediately, Scripture says, they go into to see the disciples. And they say, it's just like the women said. Mm-hmm. He's risen. We've seen him. They can't get enough of it. Once their eyes were opened. Now, I want to ask you an interesting question. What circumstances really changed between their eyes opening and their eyes closing?
Their heart was touched.
Their heart, yes. But their circumstances? Nothing. Nothing had changed. Everything happened just like they said it had happened. Nothing had changed in the story. So it wasn't like they got a new piece of information, uh-huh. Right? They knew that his body wasn't. I mean, they had heard this from the women that he was risen from the dead, but they didn't believe it, right? Nothing had truly changed. What's next is still what's next, right? What was different was that they didn't have to do it alone. Hmm. And they realized, because their eyes were open, that the Messiah really did rise from the dead, and that really makes a difference for what's next. It changed their entire outlook on the same situation. It's not that all of a sudden, okay, Jesus made himself appear to us, and oh my gosh, every one of the Romans and the Jews, all of a sudden they just went, yep, we believe in him too. Yep, great, it's all done. It's a done deal, right? It's kind of like when you first gave your heart to Christ and you had friends that still didn't. You're like, well, don't you get it? My gosh, I mean, can't you? I mean, I don't understand why you can't get this. This is amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. We get that way, right? But it doesn't change that. One of the things there's a retreat called Walk to Emmaus. It's built around, it's a 72-hour spiritual retreat that's based around this story. And it's interesting because one of the very last things that we talk about is that now for the last 72 hours, you've been looking at the scriptures, you've been praying, you've been engrossed and immersed in the love of God, right? But when you go home, and if I was doing it today, I would say there's still remnants of the pandemic. There's still a potential global world war. There's still incredible political strife. The relationships you had that were struggling before, those people are still, you're still struggling, you know. What's different is how you view Jesus and what that means for your life. That's what's changed. Problems still exist. The world's still out there. I mean, when they go back and they tell the disciples, that doesn't mean that all the disciples just all of a sudden go, okay, we're in. Because if you remember, that's Easter night that this story happens, by the way. It's another week before Jesus comes back and says to Thomas, remember the whole, see my hands, wrists, side thing, right? That's another week. The reinstatement of Peter by the Sea of Galilee, that's still a couple of days away. A couple of weeks probably away. You know, this doesn't all happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But each time somebody's eyes were opened, things changed. Of course, the most famous eye opener would be Paul. Remember when Paul was confronted by Christ, he has scales that go over his eyes, then literally his eyes were opened. I mean, literally. And look who he becomes. One of the best, between he and Peter, the two most important evangelists in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, they literally, the two of them, lead other people to establish churches all over that we still today are in line. Right? And it's because their eyes were opened. So, for me, when I look at this story, and I think about who we are, I don't want us to take for granted the Easter celebration. I don't want us to look at the chalkboard and not be able to see the words on it. You know, I don't want us to come and sing Christ the Lord is risen today and he lives and all that stuff and then literally go home and go, yeah, that was so last week. We're all going to experience moments of doubt and fear. That's normal. But when our eyes are opened, we know we don't have to face those alone. We know that we don't have to face our fear alone. We don't have to face our sin and death alone. We don't have to face the struggles of this world alone. Because we have a God who rose from the dead, who defeated death. All the things we talk about at Easter, they're not just things we talk about once a year. They're the very things that guide us and give us hope and strength for each and every day. That's how our eyes are open. When our doubt turns into belief, when our fear turns into faith, when what's next becomes what is God showing us next? When those things change in our life, then our eyes are open. Doesn't mean everything goes away. That's not what I don't think that's ever in Scripture that, oh, you believe in Jesus and everything gets better. I mean, believing in Jesus cost the disciples, every one of them but John, their life. I mean, it did. It doesn't mean everything, all your problems just simply go away. I think that's one of those fallacies that we have is, well, if I believe in Jesus, everything just goes away. And that's not true. But what it does is it reminds you God is with you. You are not alone. Thanks be to God, right? That is worth celebrating. And that's the difference when our eyes are closed versus when our eyes are open. And in the immortal words of maybe what I consider to be the most important, one of the most important confessions in all of Scripture, when Mary says to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. When Cleopas and his buddy run 8 miles back to Jerusalem, he is risen. We've seen him. And when we make that confession, we have seen the Lord. That is eye-opening, life-changing. That's power. That's grace. And to me, that is what it means to have their eyes opened.
Great, great lesson today. Monica's got something to throw in. She got to throw in her 2 cents worth. It may be worth a nickel.
This may be worth 10 cents.
All right. I'm taking notes.
So this morning as I'm getting up and getting around and getting ready, I was having my coffee.
As we all are at the moment.
Yeah.
Coffee.
New sponsor for the show, apparently.
Yeah, hang on. So when I'm getting ready and I'm putting the lotion on, and he says, I want you to take that bar of soap with you this morning. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't know why, but okay. So I get it, and I put it on the coffee table by my coffee. And as I go to get my shoes, he says, I said, okay, Lord, I won't. So I go and I put it in there. And I get here. This is how God works, people. Please hear me. Hear me, please. This is how God works. I got here this morning. and me and Pastor Scott don't talk outside the program. I don't even have a number, nothing. I think we're friends on Facebook, but we don't message or nothing. So there was no communication. I got here this morning, and as I'm putting the stuff in the iPad, I asked Pastor Scott, you got a title for this morning, sir? He said, I sure do. They're I just got so excited.
She did.
I got super excited. Maybe a little more than normal, but hey, that's okay. I don't know where you're at this morning. We don't know where you're at. But I can promise you this. You have to do is ask God, ask Jesus. Jesus, I need your help. I need your help. Take him out of the box. Move in your heart. And I assure you, your spiritual eyes will be open and it will be like nothing you have ever seen physically. I encourage you, please find a home church. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart. Receive him. And let him move on your behalf. He will never, ever leave you. He will never forsake you. He is faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Scott, will you pray to pray us out of here?
Gracious God, may our hearts and our eyes be opened by you today. May we receive your grace, your mercy, and your love. May we never take those for granted. And may we always trust in you. Even in those moments of doubt and fear, we pray for your wisdom and your guidance to show us the way. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. I've mentioned it a couple of times over the last couple of days to some people, but speaking of your eyes being opened, a few weeks ago as Joe and I were praying, I was like, Lord, I know we're supposed to live by faith. I know that, and I believe we do live by faith. But could you just give us a little sight of something? Can we just see a little something so we know that we're making the progress? And Thursday, Joe had an appointment in Altus at 10 o'clock in the morning with the orthopedic specialist for his knees. And we were on the go. He woke up about 15 till 7 that morning. And we were on the go constantly until 9 o'clock that night because we had things going on in Cheyenne this week. We got home about 9, ate supper. And at 11:20, I said, honey, I'm going to go on to bed. I'm tired. And he said, I'll be along in a little bit. I'm trying to finish this email about insurance, something or another for someone. And the next day, it dawned on me. There was the sight. My eyes were open to his physical body that in August, the doctor said, sorry, pal, you might as well call hospice in because you're done because this cancer is stage 4. And to see him operate for 18 hours that day, I guess, mm-hmm. without a nap, to Altus, back to Elk City, picked up some things here, got home, went right to the event at the school that night, which was the old time dress review, came home, ate, was still working on, you know, some email stuff because he hadn't had time all day because he'd been gone all day. And that was when my eyes were open to, I know he's been doing things all along. I know that. But that was the eye opener.
Absolutely.
That he went all day that day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what he did Friday, but we had an event Friday evening. And then Saturday was the parade at 10. And we went all day, parade at 10, lunch at noon, rodeo at 2, alumni banquet at 6. We went all day that day. God is so good, and my eyes were opened mm-hmm. to see that and recognize it and praise God for it.
Amen. Absolutely.
Well, even though I said pray us out, you know, I had to throw that in because I felt like
that. There's nothing wrong with a little testimony.
So from me, Neva, from Monica, from Pastor Scott, have a blessed day. We will see you back in here tomorrow for the Hour of Power.
Let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
Getting your oil changed.